This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Things are moving fast in the Middle East, maybe too fast. Folks are wondering whether or not there's any space for diplomacy, and is peace an illusion? Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS military analyst, joins us. Colonel, welcome to the show.
Always a great pleasure.
Colonel, Benjamin Netanyahu speaks to the joint session of Congress, and from that day forward, things really began to move at a lightning speed. But his speech was somewhat prophetic about things that he thought that would happen. I'm not so certain that everyone thought it would happen so soon.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps the case. I mean, we've seen Israel conduct a number of attacks in the aftermath. I think the other thing one needs to keep in mind, though, is when he arrived in Washington on 22nd of July, which seems like 100 years ago now in some way, there was at least large-scale cautious optimism of the possibility of a negotiated ceasefire that would allow not only the end of the fighting, at least temporarily, in the Gaza Strip, and the release of the hostages, or at least some of the hostages still held by Hamas, but that also would then serve as a predicate for other groups in the region that are involved in this conflict, most notably Hezbollah in southern Lebanon, the Houthis down in Yemen, groups in Syria and Iraq who have been conducted attacks against Israel to also conduct a ceasefire, as they had done back in November when a previous ceasefire occurred. But now with the attacks that have occurred in the last couple of days, it seems that possibility of a ceasefire, I think, is ever even more remote.
So on the 27th, we have this Hezbollah rocket that strikes a soccer field, kills 12 children, injures 30 more civilians. That's 5 days after this speech to the joint session of Congress. And Netanyahu wasn't treated in the most favorable fashion. I mean, there really was a lot of cat and mouse games being played here. I, for one, and I'm curious what your thoughts are, believe that these are not random. These are, every one of these is a test, it seems to me. And it seems as though they wanted to test to see what Israel's response was going to be in the aftermath of this trip to the U.S. Your thoughts?
Well, that's possible. But clearly for Netanyahu, the one thing that he gained during that particular trip to Washington was, first, I would argue in many ways it was a campaign speech. I mean, he was not speaking so much to the Congress. He was speaking to the people of Israel, because it was done in the afternoon, I think, by design. So it was in the evening in Israel. and he was making the case. One thing he didn't say was, oh, by the way, I was responsible for this gross strategic intelligence failure that allowed this attack to occur. He's never said that, and there will be a day of reckoning, I think, someday politically for him. And he is certainly, I think, trying to refurbish his political position in Israel. The second of all, of course, his speech was all about even more and more faster American aid to Israel and underscoring close American and Israeli relations. And that was to a cheering crowd, largely, of people in the Congress, Republicans as well as Democrats. There were detractors, to be certain, and there were a number of people, a number of congressmen, senators, mostly Democrats, who didn't show up just because they didn't want to deign him with their presence. And then he also was courted to the private meetings with Mr. Biden, the private meeting with Vice President Harris, now likely Democratic nominee, and then went to Mar-a-Lago for private meetings with President Trump. While the statements of relief in the aftermath, there was some effort, perhaps particularly by Harris, to draw a bit of a divide, talking about the need for more humanitarian assistance, finding some level of possibility for a ceasefire, et cetera. All those particular leaders voiced pretty much the standard American, we support Israel, Israel has a right to defend itself, et cetera, line. So when he went home, that was the view not only to him, not only to the Israeli public, but across the Arab world. They said, not pretty clear, the Americans are behind the Israelis. And then this, as you pointed out, this horrific attack occurs, killing these 12 children at this village in northern Israel. And this large and not unexpected Israeli response against Hezbollah. But one needs to examine that and say, well, what does that mean? Well, it is to a certain degree escalatory. That certainly may be necessary in the eyes of the Israelis, because not only did they take out a senior leader, military leader, a guy named Fuad Shakur, who is a military advisor to Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, but of course you're hitting Beirut, which is the capital of Lebanon, a sovereign state, basically the capital of Hezbollah. And now, of course, we're waiting on what kind of a response, retaliatory response, or is Hezbollah going to execute. And then, of course, the really startling thing, of course, was on the 31st, the killing of the senior political leader of Hamas, a guy by the name of Ismail Haniyeh, and he was killed in downtown Tehran. And shockingly, in the last few hours, we've even learned he was killed in basically a safe house controlled by the Iranian Revolutionary Guard in Iran, in Tehran, the capital of Iran, by a bomb that had been planted there for months in advance of his arrival to be a guest. And why was he there? Well, he was a guest for the inauguration of a brand new Iranian president, which occurred about 12 hours before his untimely death. So then now the question is, not only are we awaiting the response by Hezbollah for the attack that killed this guy, Shakur, but we're also waiting for what kind of response we're going to see from Iran. There's pretty much a large-scale announcement there will be one. But by all other those groups that have are supported clearly by Iran, number one, and are associated with supporting Hamas more broadly. And that includes the Houthis down in Yemen. That includes the people on the West Bank. That includes Iraqi and Syrian militia groups operating in those areas. And we've even seen in the last 24, 48 hours, attacks and retaliatory strikes once again by the United States because of attacks on our bases around the world. So we're kind of all holding our breath for the next shoe to drop. At the same time, the possibility of that ceasefire, which might have brought a close, at least temporarily, to the fighting by all those particular protagonists, seems to be retreating farther and farther into the distance. And the possibility of a larger regional war, which could stretch from the Mediterranean all the way to the border of Iran and Afghanistan, looms larger.
Yeah. So Benjamin Netanyahu took a lot of grief for these intelligence failures of October 7th. These strikes in some way, were they to showcase the intelligence capabilities that they truly have? Because the intelligence community seems to be responding and saying, wow.
I think it could be construed that way. I think that for the eyes of the Israeli people longer term, they won't look at it that way. They still want to, I think, once this war is over, there'll be a demand for accountability. I mean, I point out to people, if you go back to the Yom Kippur in 1973, Israelis were surprised strategically then. not nearly as badly, I think, as they were this time. Oh, by the way, the Prime Minister, Golda Meir, was able to reverse her fortunes and halt and win a stunning victory against the Egyptians, the Syrians, Jordanians, and others in that war, and do so in a pretty brief fashion. So she reversed the tables pretty quickly. But once the war was over, the Israeli people held, you know, a political accountability, as they did at Firm Review, and held her government responsible for that strategic failure. By April of 1974, she was voted out of office. She never became prime minister again.
Yeah. So, you know, we hear a lot of folks talking about peace in the Middle East. Is that really achievable? I mean, you know, when we look at all of the pieces and parts to this, the religious undercurrents, the historical hate that exists. You know, I was reading an article by someone who was interviewing folks on the West Bank the other day, and they were shocked by how many people were openly saying that they love Hamas. Really, I think it's more about what they've done to the Israelis, not so much their love for Hamas, but their hate for Israelis. I mean, and if that's the sentiment, you got to wonder whether or not peace is just an illusion.
Well, and you have to say what type of peace. I think short-term peace
or a
long-term solution. Okay?
Yeah.
And I think both sides deserve some credit and some blame for this, quite candidly. I've spent a lot of time in Israel, spent a lot of time with the Israeli military. And I would say part of that intelligence failure I mentioned a moment ago was due to the fact that the Israeli military and the government more broadly viewed Hamas in the following fashion. They had fought several wars with Hamas, all of which had been brief, a few days, over the last 20 years or so since Hamas came to power around 2006. I remember talking to an Israeli colonel one time about this, and I said, okay, you're fighting all these brief wars. What is the end state? Because the use of military force is a means to an end. It's not an end in itself. What is the end state you're trying to achieve? Where are we going here? And this guy looked very frustrated at me, and he said, you know, you're just like my wife. You're just like my wife. She asked me that all the time. And I say, look here.
Those are the nights I go to the doghouse.
Israel is a lovely place to live. We have a lovely place to live. We have a very nice house here in Israel. We have a nice life. If you have a nice house, every once in a while, you have to go out and cut the grass. Okay? So all we're doing is mowing the grass. So I'm telling you, from a large number of people in military and politically in Israel, the view of Hamas at the start of this war had always been the following. Every couple of years, we've got to go down and mow the grass. They're going to get out of control. We're going to go down. We're going to beat the heck out of them. Things will calm down. We'll buy a couple of years of peace, temporary, and then we're going to have to do that over again. But in essence, as another senior Israeli told me, my grandkids are going to be killing their grandkids. So you're basically buying a strategy of temporary peace, but basically permanent war. You're failing to answer the question that Donald Rumsfeld once asked about the war in Iraq. Are we growing them faster than we're killing them? Now, if you adopt that as a strategy, I'm praying you're stuck with it. But don't look for that to be permanent peace. And the only way you get to permanent peace is you either do one of two things. You go to a one-state solution. Everybody gets to be a citizen, because right now, altogether between the West Bank and Gaza, there are about 5 million Palestinians, okay? They are not citizens. They are not allowed to vote. Their land is confiscated, frankly, pretty arbitrarily, particularly on the West Bank. They're limited in their work. They're limited in where they can go, when they can go there. So they're not really full participants of the society. If they are arrested on the West Bank, they go in front of an Israeli military court to be the judge for whatever they did, and which has got about a 90%+, if not higher, conviction rate. If you're an Israeli living on the West Bank and you are charged with an assault on a Palestinian, you go in front of a civil court with all your civil rights. Okay? So either go to a one-state solution where you elevate those people to full citizenship and you try to make it one society. Or you say, this has gone on too far, as you suggested in some ways, Neil, and we've got to separate. So we've got to create a two-state solution. And that becomes more and more complicated because of the geography. So So right now, I think you're really, if you say a one-state solution is not possible because of all the blood that's in Phil, we can't live together, then you have two options. You pursue a two-state solution, which is unbelievably complicated, but at least perhaps give you a chance towards longer-term peaceful relations in the region, or you just accept that we're going to be at war permanently. There may be lulls of a couple of years of relative quiet, but we're going to experience what we're experiencing right now every couple of years. Yeah. That's it. There are, if somebody's got a third alternative, please call me.
I don't know. I don't know of a situation more frustrating than this one, quite frankly. I mean, just from the outside looking in.
Yeah, there's a thing in Washington that has gone on for decades, that anybody who arrives in Washington in a senior position and says, I'm going to find a solution to the conflicts in the Middle East, is the opening first sign of insanity.
Yeah, and rightfully so, for sure. As always, Colonel Jeff McCausland, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate your time and your insight. Have a great week.
Take care of yourself.
All righty, folks. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We will be right back. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Elizabeth Magner, retired federal judge. She's part of a group of French Quarter residents that the judge is leading, documenting a bunch of challenges and issues throughout the 78 block area, otherwise known as part of that being the French Quarter for sure. Judge, welcome to the show.
Thank you, and thank you so much for having me.
Very excited about what is happening. We had Michael Heck on yesterday talking about the MUTs, that multi-unit task force that's going to be there, and obviously the work that you guys are doing. So if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, y'all have done a lot of stuff, a lot of work already. Tell us about it.
Well, a group of friends, seven of us, decided that we were tired of the condition of the French Quarter, and so we just walked it. We got up early in the mornings and walked the sidewalks and noted several items. We looked at the sidewalks for major cracks, and I don't mean small hairline cracks. I mean cracks that you could trip on, holes in the sidewalk and missing materials, whether it's brick, slate, or concrete. We took pictures of all of those, and then we documented the extensive missing signage throughout. These are street name signs, stop signs, one-way signs, crosswalks that were missing, trash cans missing, street lights missing, covers with exposed wiring or their skirts that exposed the big bolts that hold them onto the sidewalks. And then finally, cracked, depressed, or missing utility service covers and catch basins, whether they be from AT&T, Cox, Sewage and Water Board, or Entergy. And then I guess the last item was major potholes in the quarter and broken streets. And we identified at least 10 blocks throughout the quarter, in addition to potholes, that really are like Calcutta. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah, I can't remember what street it is. They have a metal plate over a hole in the street.
You
probably know exactly where I'm talking about. I think it's been there like 3 years now, if my memory serves.
I think it's Wilkinson. I think it's on Wilkinson or Iberville. There are actually two plates, one on Wilkinson and one on Iberville. Very just terrible disrepair. There was we documented one catch basin that was over by the Mint. Another one is over by the Supreme Court building. For your listeners, that may be, they may know it as a Wildlife and Fisheries building on Charters. The one on the Mint, I actually got a text from a friend after there was some publication of our survey, and he said he used to live across the street from that catch basin, knew it well, and said it was open and exposed 11 years ago. So it's been 11 years.
That's incredible. So I know that y'all created a report. And that report was forwarded to whom?
We sent it to the mayor's office. I hand-delivered it to the mayor's receptionist secretary. We also gave a copy. With all of these were accompanied by jump drives with pictures of everything we documented, and each picture had the address or the location of that particular item. We also gave a spread, before I say who we gave a spreadsheet of each of the items by the type of problem, if you will. So all of the potholes were listed on one sheet by address, the street lights, the utility covers, so that it would be easy, presumably, for the city to send the information to the right individuals to address it. I hand-delivered it to the mayor's office, three city council members, Helena Moreno's office, J.P. Morrell, and Freddie King. Freddie King because he is the French Quarter representative, and the other two because they are the at-large council members. I also sent a copy to Gail Benson, and hand-delivered a copy to Rick Hathaway, who's the director of Public Works, and then sent a copy to the paper, to the Times-Picayune.
And that was how long ago?
May.
And any progress?
Well, we've noticed a couple of things that have been changed. The catch basin that I just mentioned about at the Old Mint was actually fixed. Some of the graffiti has been addressed by the private owners who had the graffiti on their buildings. I have had various agencies reach out to me. Michael Heck reached out to me and said, you know, thank you for doing this, and we have a copy of your report. The French Quarter Management District also reached out. I haven't yet been able to sit down with them to address some of the problems. But frankly, nobody from the city. Surprisingly, I didn't even get a thank you for your correspondence response. Absolutely nothing. And I noticed in the Times-Picayune article that Helena Moreno's office said they never received it. I'll tell you, I put it in her aide's hands myself.
Obviously, It's been reported in the media. You're on the show today. No follow-up since then?
No follow-up. No follow-up.
Your reaction to that?
Frustration. I'll admit a little bit of anger, but, you know, frustration is the primary issue. I guess I naively thought that the city didn't have the manpower to address these issues. And so we thought if we put it in a format that was easy to understand and catalog, they would say, at a minimum, thank you for doing this. We're going to have to schedule this over X period of time. We knew that there was probably money coming in from the Super Bowl, from the NFL, to help the city. And we hoped to tap into some of that to get this work done. But so far, crickets. Nothing.
You know what's interesting to me? I look through the list that you provided. It wouldn't take long to get to a lot of these items. Obviously, street work is something of a different nature. The sidewalk repairs, I hate to say this, it's actually safer to walk in the street than it is on the sidewalk in the French Quarter.
Most of us do walk in the street. We walk through the quarter in the street.
You know, and that's a sad commentary because it is a walking area of the city, right?
It is.
But all of these catch basins that don't have covers, the covers of the light poles that are pulled off on the side, sewer covers that are missing, big metal plates across the roadway. The one I talked about, I know, has been there at least 3 years, if not longer. We keep hearing from city officials it's not about money. So it's obviously about execution.
Yeah,
And the irony is you get two crews and you go in there, and I promise you, by Thanksgiving, this is done.
I agree.
It won't take that long.
According to the Times-Picayune article, the city doesn't have manpower, but it does have the ability to hire independent contractors. How hard would it be to hire somebody to just go in and replace missing bricks, missing slate, cracked holes, fill them with concrete, go through and put in the signage that needs to be put on? I mean, really, we have 53 stop signs missing in the French Quarter. 53. We have 49 one-way stops missing. How hard is that? I agree with you. I think you could get a crew together and certainly knock this out in no time. I just don't understand why it hasn't been done before this.
Yeah, some of this is sewage and water board, so that had to be the drain cover was part of the city, right?
Sewage and water board is just now taking those over. And frankly, even the missing sidewalks around sewage and water board meters, those were supposed to be done by DPW as well, Department of Public Works. It was only recently, like within the last, 2 to 3 years, that the Sewage and Water Board took over repairing the sidewalks around its meters because DPW wasn't doing it and they were getting blamed for it. So that's a fairly recent development as well. And I know they don't have a complete inventory of all of the items that surround their meters because those complaints have been going to DPW.
So, Judge, I know that you ran a tight ship over there at bankruptcy court. any interest in being the French Quarter czar?
I would love to. I don't know if my husband would love me to, but sign me up.
I know your husband. I suspect he would not. But, you know,
I think our biggest takeaway from this, and you're right, Newell, this is not rocket science, is there just needs to be a systematic walk of the quarter at least once a year. And frankly, the residents can do it. I'm thinking about doing a day where in pleasant weather, October, we all just walk the quarter and document what needs to be done. But the real issue is accountability. We can't force the city to do its job. The only thing that I know to do is document it, publish it, and then hold the city accountable as to why it hasn't been rectified. Because you're right, it doesn't seem to be the money. So what am I left with? And if the city can't manage the jewel of the state, and let's face it, the French Quarter generates probably $200 million a year for the city of New Orleans in revenue, if we get down to brass tacks. So if it can't figure out how to keep the French Quarter clean, sidewalks repaired, streets repaired, signage up, these are very simple items, then maybe we need to be thinking about something like the conservancy model, where we put the quarter in a separate 503c corporation and have it managed by a professional board, similar to the Audubon Institute and what City Park has just done.
Yeah, it's what Billy Nungesser has talked about. I've actually visited some of the areas that have done something very similar to this that had the exact same issues that we're having here. And guess what happened? They re-engineered themselves. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
It got cleaned up.
and
they're much better for it, right? I mean, it's a shame to say, but this is the jewel. And if we can't take care of the jewel, we have bigger problems. This is where the easy money comes to the city, right there in the French Quarter, right? And there would be more that would come if you cleaned it up and you did what was necessary to be done there. It just makes perfect sense.
Well, and the French Quarter Management District has helped tremendously with the extra security that is put into the French Quarter to help address crime. The state has brought in troopers, NOLA troops. All of this is helping, but none of it's coming from the city. It's coming from other groups. And that's what's so striking about this issue, is where is the city?
Yeah, the problem I have, and I don't know if you've ever lived in Jefferson Parish, but if I call, I can promise you, if I call about a stop sign missing, this isn't an actual experience, that stop sign was replaced within a week.
I lived in Jefferson Parish for many, many years, 35 to be exact. My living in the French Quarter is only about 4 years old, so I come from Jefferson Parish, and I have the same experience in Jefferson. Response times of police, fire, EMS, repairing infrastructure, immediate, and doesn't cost a lot. I'd use an example. When I put in a water meter in Jefferson Parish, I needed a new water meter. It cost $200. And it took literally 4 days to happen. When I put a water meter in the house that I restored in the French Quarter, it took 5 months to get it in and cost $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, explain that. I can't.
Well, you can't.
Something is terribly wrong. Something is terribly wrong. I don't know what it is, but there needs to be an up and down audit, I believe, of the city and the city's finances, and there needs to be accountability. I don't know what else to say.
Well, there needs to be an operational audit as well, because that's where you're going to find out where these deficiencies are in their ability to execute. It may be they got too many WIPs, works and processes that this is going through that needs to be streamlined so that we can get closer to the requester, the constituent, from the folks that are actually going to do the work. And I think Michael Heck is learning a lot about that right now with this committee that they have, and they're recognizing that they're having a lot of hurdles to jump over for no reason. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it doesn't. I think that the city, it clearly, based on the reporting, doesn't have enough personnel, but the personnel are also not hiring the people they need to help them do their jobs. So I don't know how to get that process going, because that seems to be an issue as well. I mean, another example, I think it's been reported that all of the friends, who, by the way, can I mention quickly who they all are so that they get some credit
for this? Sure, please. Absolutely.
Wayne Wilkinson, Mike Allison, Jim Allen, Bob Davis, Chris Talley, and Steve Mundy all walked the quarter with me, and we're all friends from the Cabrini Dog Park, which is, if you know the quarter, mm-hmm. it's over on Barracks and on right. Dauphine, the corner of Barracks and Dauphine. And the city, NORD, is responsible for it. Park and Parkways manages the trees that are there. But we don't see them out there virtually at all. All of us, the people who use the park, are the ones who are paying to fix the fencing, to prune the trees, to deal with the trees that fall from Ida, that handle the gate that doesn't work. But none of us dial 311 because we don't expect the city to respond. And so we just take it on ourselves to do it.
Yeah, if you have a safety hazard of a storm drain cover that's missing for 11 years, I mean, that you don't need to go any further than that. Fundamentally, none of this
Something's broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just... I mean, what is the chance that a city employee didn't drive by there and see that? Like, slim and none, right? I mean, it's just...
Right, right.
You got,
at some point...
And this is the thing. You got to care, you got to want to know, and you got to desire to execute. It can't just be busy work, right? And somebody else will tend to that problem, because there is nobody else that's going to tend to that problem.
No.
If it's in your silo of responsibility... You need to take care of the problem, right? And
exactly.
That's
and show the initiative
of
how to make it happen. It requires people who are self starters and take the initiative.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. Best. I still think that we ought to get you to be the French Quarter czar. I'm sure your husband is staring me down at the present time for even suggesting that.
He's going to disconnect his call is what he's really going to do.
He's going to do, yeah. All right, enough of this silliness. but no, I'm serious, because that's what it's going to take. You just got to keep putting the pressure on. It's the only way it's going to get resolved. I mean, I don't know what else to do. But
I think there are a bunch of people that don't know what else to do. But I know that there are many people all over the country, in the city, Jefferson Parish, other parts of the state, everywhere, that love the French Quarter and really appreciate the architecture, the music, the food, and don't want to see it in this state. They just kind of don't know what to do. And so what I would tell your listeners to do is start calling, email, text city council members, the mayor's office, the Department of Public Works, bombard them with just anything that says we love the quarter, get it fixed. Put the pressure on. That seems to be the only thing they respond to.
Something just occurred to me. Maybe we should have a festival around this, like a two-day fix up the French Quarter festival, and we get 1,000 people to attend with the city folks, and we all help them put up stop signs, one-way signs, carry covers to where they have a, I mean... It's not hard to put a cover on a utility pole. It's a screw.
mean, you may need to be a little tall sometimes.
But it's there on the ground. One of the pictures that you have is like six inches off the ground. I think, about 6 inches off the ground. I think I can handle that. I mean, yeah. It's, I see the screw hole on the little bracket right there. It's one screw.
Yes, and there also needs to be, I will tell you, there needs to be some accountability of the contractors who work in the quarter. I mean, one of my examples is that there was a contractor that was hired to put in the ADA ramps on all the corners. Those are the ones with the kind of bumps on them that mm-hmm. are bolted into the concrete for the ramp. And in doing that, they had to take out the historic street tile main signs throughout the quarter.
I saw that.
But part of their contract was to put them back. And I think we documented that many, like 27 intersections don't have the tiles, and another 18 have partial tiles. The quarter's only 73 blocks. So that's over half. They didn't put the tiles back. And someone in the city should have walked that job before they paid the contractor.
That's one of those little nuances that make that place special. And, you know, we just walked right by it and didn't take care of business. We will revisit with you to see whether or not anyone takes up this challenge and moves forward with eliminating the items on this list. Hopefully somebody from the city takes it seriously and we can get some of this done. And thank you so much for taking the time with all of the other folks that you mentioned of walking the quarter and trying to make a difference day in and day out, like you did in your regular career, and now doing it in the aftermath of that career. And we appreciate that as well.
Thank you so much for having me and publishing, putting a light on this. We do appreciate it, and hopefully we'll get some action.
I certainly hope so. My fingers are crossed, and I will say my prayers. Elizabeth Magner, retired federal judge, leading a group of French Quarter residents trying to make a difference in getting the infrastructure repaired in the French Quarter. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Well, folks, you know what's incredible about this? In the aftermath of Katrina, I used to deliver somewhere between 200 and 300 speeches a year to groups across the metropolitan area, not only here on the South Shore and North Shore. And I always made the observation, and I was so encouraged about how hard people worked to get back here to the place that they call home, right? Because it's unique, it's special. We have a fair festival for every living creature that ever walked the face of the earth. There are things here that we enjoy that other people will never enjoy. You'll make more friends here in 3 months than they will in 3 years in other communities. And that's the place that we call home. And it brought me back to that mindset in this discussion with Elizabeth Magner, who's now living in the quarter after having lived in Jefferson Parish for a number of years, living in the quarter now, and trying to make a difference. And that's the thing that it's incredible about here, is that so many people are willing to get involved. We have to figure out how to tap into that energy. How to tap into that fervor, that energy to make a difference, to change things. And a lot of people, I was said it kind of kiddingly. I mean, I almost wish we could do a fair or a festival and we start hanging stop signs and one-way signs and the stuff that we can handle. And they just need to send some, the city that is, just needs to send someone, you know, that says, hey, the stop sign's got to go right there, 8 feet off the ground. I can handle a tape measure and I can handle a screwdriver. And let's get it done. Put it on the back of one of those Polaris side-by-sides of small little vehicles and run people around the quarter. And in 2 days, we'll knock more than half of that list out. Of course, we can't repair streets, but you know those little brick pavers? We can put those down. All we need is the brick paver, right? In many respects. Some of them may require a little mortar. Send somebody with a bucket of mortar. We put it down, we set it. We'll knock it out. And I guarantee you there would be 1,000 people show up to do it. Why? Because they care. This is the place that they call home. This is the place that they want to be proud of to call home. This is the place that they're fighting hard to be proud to call home. All we need this now is to be the place that someone recognizes it and puts everybody in the best position to execute. Still hopeful. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, will talk about a number of issues, the most recent arrests of St. Charles Deputy Chief, Captain, and Sergeant accused of commandeering department equipment. We'll talk about other crime issues. We'll also talk about the civil lawsuit filed by Ann Breaux against Mayor LaToya Cantrell, and homicide victims and arrests from January 1st to July 31st, which was yesterday. And we'll talk about that as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Rafi Goyeneche. This is Newell on WWL. Well, folks, you know what's incredible about this? And in the aftermath of Katrina, I used to deliver somewhere between 200 and 300 speeches a year to groups across the metropolitan area, not only here on the South Shore and North Shore. And I always made the observation, and I was so encouraged about how hard people worked to get back here to the place that they call home. Right? Because it's unique. It's special. We have a fair, a festival for every living creature that ever walked the face of the earth. There are things here that we enjoy that other people will never enjoy. You'll make more friends here in 3 months than they will in 3 years in other communities. And that's the place that we call home. And it brought me back to that mindset in this discussion with Elizabeth Magner, who's now living in the Quarter after having lived in Jefferson Parish for a number of years, living in the Quarter now, and trying to make a difference. And that's the thing that it's incredible about here, is that so many people are willing to get involved. We have to figure out how to tap into that energy, how to tap into that fervor, that energy to make a difference, to change things. And a lot of people, I was said it kind of kiddingly. I mean, I almost wish we could do a fair or a festival and we start hanging stop signs and one-way signs and the stuff that we can handle. And they just need to send some, the city that is, just needs to send someone, you know, that says, hey, the stop sign's got to go right there, 8 feet off the ground. I can handle a tape measure and I can handle a screwdriver. And let's get it done. Put it on the back of one of those Polaris side-by-sides of small little vehicles and run people around the Quarter. And in 2 days, we'll knock more than half of that list out. Of course, we can't repair streets. But you know those little brick pavers? We can put those down. All we need is the brick paver, right? In many respects. Some of them may require a little mortar. Send somebody with a bucket of mortar. We put it down, we set it. We'll knock it out. And I guarantee you there would be 1,000 people show up to do it. Why? Because they care. This is the place that they call home. This is the place that they want to be proud of to call home. This is the place that they're fighting hard to be proud to call home. All we need this now is to be the place that someone recognizes it and puts everybody in the best position to execute. Still hopeful. We'll be right back. Folks, when we come back after the top of the hour news break, Rafael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, will talk about a number of issues, the most recent arrests of St. Charles Deputy Chief, Captain, and Sergeant accused of commandeering department equipment. We'll talk about other crime issues. We'll also talk about the civil lawsuit filed by Ann Breaux against Mayor LaToya Cantrell and homicide victims and arrests from January 1st to July 31st, which was yesterday. And we'll talk about that as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back with Rafi Goyeneche. This is Newell on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com